Seated. I've got to tell you something. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through that song or not. I'll tell you why. You know, during Jubilee, we had three folks get saved. One of them was Ashton Maddox. She's got a broke leg and all, but she's back there. She didn't miss one word, not one beat. She was celebrating the fact of the day that Jesus washed her sins away. Amen. And I'm so glad of that. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He's worthy, Pastor.
Well, you happy you're here today?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it is a good day to be alive. And we're alive, and so it ought to be a happy day to be alive. And like someone said one time, it's better to be seen than viewed. And I count that a blessing this morning. You'll get that in a minute for those who hadn't caught on to it. But anyway, it's so very good to be here in the house of the Lord. And we've had some brisk temperatures, haven't we? And so you turn the news on, the weatherman just standing there like this. He don't know. But anyway, God knows. And looks like our plants that have been planted in the ground and donated are starting to bloom. And so we're proud of that. Looking good on the outside of the church and feeling good on the inside of the church. Sometimes you may wonder why I ramble on Sunday mornings like this. Well, I'm trying to catch my breath from all the singing I've done. But anyway, I do have quite a bit to mention this morning. So if you would just bear with us, we will get back into the flow of service. But I believe Miss Christie has a special announcement to make this time.
To say to the ladies, no CLU today. Thank you all for everything that you did during the week of Jubilee. We greatly appreciate it. So, and the other special announcement I have is, if you'll look over here to my right, you see this precious lady sitting over here at this organ. I'll get in trouble later for doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways because I know you will all agree to what I have to say here. This lady, she's no stranger around here. She's so special to all of us. She is constantly at work behind the scenes. Miss Catherine, though your birthday was yesterday, we just want to tell you that we celebrate you every day. I wrote this down because I knew I'd get emotional. And we just want to tell you how much we love you. This special screen is from all of us. There, the display there. You're an absolute jewel to all of us and a true example of what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We thank you for that. We love you. We love you and we appreciate you. I won't ask you to come since you're settled in there. We want to say that we love you and we appreciate you, and please accept that gift on behalf of your CBC family.
So we we do truly love and appreciate you, Miss Catherine. So easy to work with. And I hope I am to you. All right, let me do announcements first, and then we'll get into the prayer request. No CLU today, since of all of the Jubilee preparations we had and the women working and doing those things. So we will get back on track with that next month. I did want to throw out there... Taylor and Aaron Brooks Church, every year they put on an Easter program, an Easter drama. And And so we call it the Crown. And if you might be interested in attending it, I will say that it's very good. And for those who haven't went, it's very good. It's, I believe it's in Noonan area. If you're interested in attending that, the dates are coming up soon. I believe it starts next week up until Easter. And so see Miss Darlene Hancock. She'll have more details on that if you're interested in that. Let's remember in prayer this morning. In fact, I want to have a special time of prayer this morning. We have quite a list that's building up. Christy Teague, she was she was going to a doctor's visit with her mom, Connie, and Connie was going for something, and Christy started getting sick on the way out there on Tuesday, and so they rushed her to Piedmont. And she had kidney stones, one in each kidney, and they had to put a stent in each kidney, in the urethra tubes. And she's been there since Tuesday. And so Connie and Larry both are those who have stayed the night at the hospital know, number one, the patient is not comfortable, but number two, the family is not as well. So those who've been to the hospital and stayed nights know about that comfort level. And so they're all spent. They're ready to come home. Her magnesium levels, potassium levels, electrolytes is what's keeping her from coming home. Those need to rise up. And so bless her heart. She's been eating bananas is what Connie said every night for dinner, trying to get that magnesium, potassium up. So just remember her in prayer. And again, in just a few moments, we will zero in on these and pray. Miss Mary Ann Sandy has a knee replacement coming up on Wednesday, so let's remember her in prayer. James and Shirley Townsend, their daughter Christy has diverticulitis real bad, so let's remember her in prayer. Miss Dawn Capistrano texted me early this morning, and she has a situation with her ankle which she previously had, but she had a fall. And the doctor said she has some kind of cyst on her ankle, she's giving her trouble. I told her we'd pray for her this morning. But also, let's remember Barbara Anderson in prayer. Miss Mary and Lee Ellen, I believe, went for a visit here recently, maybe last week. And she wasn't doing that well. It's hard to see her in that kind of shape, knowing the kind of person she is. And so those who haven't visited or who haven't visited in a while, just want to invite you to come and swing by if you can. If you don't feel comfortable going on the inside, then you can always have a window visit because COVID is still out there and we still have to be careful. But don't rob yourself of a blessing by not even going. You know, go by and see Miss Barbara, and we plan on doing the same here ourselves. Once again. All right, well, these are the things that, of course, our list is always filled with other things going on, but these are the ones that I want to lift up in prayer this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, just a special time of prayer for all of these. We want to take our time and pray, and then I'll turn it back over to Brother Allen. Heavenly Father, we come this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, and God, it seems like that there are times with our prayer list and our people here at Calvary that the physical problems kind of pile up. So, Father, this morning we pray for the Teagues. We pray for Miss Christy, Lord, who's been in there since Tuesday. I pray, God, that you'd touch her and raise those levels of potassium, magnesium, electrolytes, all those levels back up so that she could get home, Lord. The family wants to be home, but the family, Miss Connie, Brother Larry, wants to know that, you know, Christy is well and able to go home. And so we pray for them today. We pray for Miss Mary Ann, whose surgery is coming up. Lord, I pray that you would touch the hands of the doctors with that. I pray that you would guide those hands. Should be with her in her time, Lord, when she's under anesthesia. I pray for her recovery, Lord, that it'll be swift and that it would be steady and good. So have your hand upon Miss Marianne's upcoming appointment. The Townsend's daughter, Lord, who, if my mind serves me correctly, works at Delta. I may be wrong about that, but I believe she does either that or a nurse. Regardless, Lord, she's going through a tough time right now. I pray that you'll touch her in a very mighty way. Touch James and Shirley as well in a very, very special way. We pray for Dawn Capistrano. You'll touch her ankle, Lord. Help her be strengthened and on a road to recovery and success. And we pray for Barbara Anderson that you would touch her, Lord, that you would. Father, we still pray, Lord, for recovery for her. We still claim that you're God and you're well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So this morning we just pray for Barbara that you'll touch her, touch that side of her body, Lord, that the stroke has impacted. God, that you would make it better. And Father, help us not be negligent to not visit, Lord. Life gets in the way. Things happen, Lord. We get busy, but help us not. Help us always carve out a little time to go see those who've served faithfully through the years here at the church. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. But if you'll turn over to page number
177, it's got a question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Stand with me, church. Choir, stand. Turn 177.
Trust that everyone has gotten a visitor's card if you're here for the first time. If not, we'll make sure that you get one before you leave, and we'd love to have just a record of your attendance. I know Pastor Paul would like to send you a note to just thank you for being here at Calvary this morning, and please pray for Brother Brian. I believe he's speaking somewhere today, and I know that he truly appreciated our prayers. Pray for Pastor this morning. Again, pray for all the prayer requests that have been given. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering, both the gift and the giver as well. And let's just ask the Lord to do some great things today. Amen?
Amen.
I think we got more in us than that. Let's ask the Lord to do great things. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Brother David Henderson, would you take us the Lord in a word of prayer? chosen a song this morning for the choir to do, and unfortunately, Miss Glenda's not able to be here with us this morning, and ask that you please remember her in prayer. She's going through some difficult times physically. We want to lift her up this morning in prayer and ask the Lord to heal her, bring her back to the house. But I ask the Lord, what other song might be good for us this morning? Is there anyone in the building that would say, I've gone through some stuff? Anybody with me? You've gone through some things. Thankful for the Lord through. Amen. Maybe it was a physical challenge. Maybe a financial challenge. Maybe it was a relationship. But I'm glad to know that I've been through enough this morning to know that He is enough for me. Would you say amen right there? Would you pray for the choir as we sing an old song that says, I've been through enough. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold this universe? Why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Thank you. listen, church. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
Is enough this morning. Sometimes it takes us a while to figure that out, but He's enough. Lord is enough. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning has been through some stuff. Anybody here been through some stuff in your life lately? And I'm still feasting off the song we Won by Faith sang during Jubilee. Of course, we have sung it here. If there's anybody that's been through the fire, say amen, that song. Anybody been through a lot, say amen. That was a great, great song. And appreciate the song this morning, Brother Allen. Being through enough. I also would like to say thank you for our visitors coming this way this morning. And such a blessing to have you with us. Hope you have felt at home since you've been here. A warm welcome. Some are visiting for the first time, but then there's others who've been here before. And with David Henderson, I ask for prayer, for additional prayer for Miss Glenda at home that's not feeling well. But then Miss Claudia this morning had mentioned something to me about her lung condition that's getting worse. So please remember these in prayer. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And not sure who the message is for this morning, but I do know that I have the right one. And so I'm thankful this morning that God can take one thought, one message, and he can apply it differently to every heart. So we're leaving it with that this morning. To whoever it's for, we all can benefit from. Luke chapter number 15, and in just a moment we will read from verse number 11 down to verse number 20. And I'm trying to clear some headway so I can get into my sermon here. Sometimes I get so much in my head, it's hard to have clearance to preach. So I pray for a clear head and a calm heart as I get ready to preach, and you help pray for me as I preach as well. Father, we love you today. We thank you. I pray that you'd use the message in a very special way today to the heart that needs it the most, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15, we have three different parables. And you might ask, what is a parable? A parable is simply a earthly story that brings a heavenly meaning. And Jesus spoke in parables in that day because to hear the plain gospel was offensive to a lot. And so he used real life stories to get his message across. And people were more open for that. And let me just say that the gospel message and the cross of Jesus is offensive until you come to the cross and embrace the cross. Nobody likes to hear about on Sundays about a bloody cross. And but if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, where would we be now? And where would we be going to those who know him as Savior? And so the cross is a beautiful thing. And so Jesus speaks in parables, and he spoke of three here in chapter number 15. First of all, he spoke of the lost sheep in chapter 15. Beginning around verse number 3 and 4. And then he got into the lost coin in verse number 8, the lost coin. And then in verse number 11, where we're going to be this morning, is the lost son. So this entire chapter deals with three things that were lost. But praise the Lord this morning, they weren't lost for long because they were found. We see that the shepherd, which is Jesus himself in that first parable, he went to rescue that one that was lost, that one sheep that wandered from the fold. And there was rejoicing. And then the woman in verse number 8 who Jesus speaks about having lost one of her coins, pieces of silver. It wasn't lost for long. She had to do a little sweeping in her house, but she found it. And then this morning we have the story of the lost son. Of course, we know that he was found, and what a blessing that is. You can preach this. You can teach and speak this lost son. Someone who's never been saved, who got saved, or you can preach them who has been saved and he just had a time in a far country and returned home. You can preach them either way. But this morning, I want to call attention to verse number 11 and verse number down to verse number 20 concerning this lost son and his way home. His way home. His trip back to the house is what I want to emphasize this morning. And the title of the message is The Way Home. The Way Home. Of course, there's a very trendy show right now. You can find on the Peacock Channel or even Hallmark. called The Way Home. And don't ask me to tell you what it's about because I'm still trying to figure it out. But I know it's a good show. Me and Miss Hales have been watching it together. And so it's a good show. It's a good show. This morning, The Way Home. And I want to look at this prodigal, this rebellious son. And I want to mention some things he discovered on his way back. On his way back home. Why do we say prodigal? What's the definition of the word prodigal? The definition of that word prodigal means wasteful. It means spending resources recklessly. And so we know that's exactly what this young man did. He asked for his portion of the inheritance, and then he left home living a reckless life. He wasted what he had on riotous living. He spent his money, his inheritance, something that his dad worked for year after year after year. He spent it wastefully, and he probably spent it overnight, to be quite honest. And so now this young man is working on a farm, and his belly begins to growl, and he gets hungry, and he kneels down, and the scripture is saying, we're about to read it in full context, that he would eat the same stuff the pigs eat. But it was at this moment he found himself in this pig pen on this farm, and he knew that he had to go home because it was so much better at home. Let me just say while I'm here, there may be someone here today who is living a distant life from God. There may be someone here today, let me just add this little tag, maybe living their life distant from a relative or a family member even that you love. Something's happened in the house and you've left home. But definitely the emphasis is on the Lord this morning. And there may be someone here who knows Jesus as their personal Savior. But through time and circumstance, you didn't mean for it to happen. You just left the Father's house and you're thinking it was better on the other side of the fence. But you know it's not. Whatever the case is, whatever the situation may be, you may be here this morning and you may not know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you may have been feasting in the world and on the world's resources, but you're learning that you cannot sustain the hunger pains that you have spiritually in your heart because those things dwindle and they go away. So this morning, the way home, three things this young man discovered on his way home. The first thing that he discovered was that he knew the way home. He knew the way. Let's look in verse number 11, and then we'll read down to verse number 20. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." I want to stop reading there. That's the story in short. this young man on his way back to the Father's house discovered that he knew the way. It was a known way to him. In verse number 18, notice what he says. He says, I will arise and go to my father. Jump down to verse number 20. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. And so he went back home. If you go back and you look at verse number 13, three quarters of the way through that verse, the Bible says that he took his journey into a far country. And so this young man, when he left home, he was a long way from home, a far country. But he knew his way back. The scriptures indicate that he knew he had to return home, and so he went back home. There was no wondering how to get back home. He knew his way home. He knew exactly how to get there. So although he was in a far country, he knew exactly how to get back. This would mean he would have to walk off the field and start his way down a dusty road. And at this particular time, he would be passing by the places that he spent all of his father's inheritance. He would be passing the bar. He would be passing the nightclub. He would be on his way home. He knew his way home because when he left home, he made some very, very personal stops. And so as he would pass all of those things, he would eventually get out of that foreign country and start his way down the driveway to his father's house. And this morning I want to say that he knew his way home. Down through the years, talking with people and being a pastor and even knowing my own heart, it's the testimony of many that no one needed to tell them how to get back to church or the Lord first. It was the testimony of many that have strayed and rebelled against God, who have backslid in their life. They were once a serving Christian. They were once in church, in the choir even, and serving the Lord. But something happened through circumstances. They got out of church, and it would be the testimony of them. I've heard it with my own mouth that I knew how to get back right with the Lord in good standings with Him. I knew how to do that. No one had to show me how to do that. I knew how to do that. And when I mean good standings, I mean just pour out your complaint before the Lord. Lord, I have been contrary to you. I haven't been living for you. I've been away from you. I've been feasting on the world's supplies, and they have not sufficed me on the inside. So I come back. That's what I'm talking about. I come back to you. You're not getting saved all over again if you're already saved. But then again, there may be some who do not know anything I'm talking about. And the words that are coming out of my mouth right now may be foreign to these individuals, whoever they are. They may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. And if that be the case, it starts with the cross. Your way back home is the cross behind me. That's behind the screen. It's the cross of Calvary. It's where all of us go. The grounds around the cross are all level grounds. There's no big I's and little U's. We're all the same. We are all natural born sinners. And it's because of our sin that has separated us from a loving God. Therefore, Jesus came into this world and he bridged the gap with the cross. And anybody who gets into God's heaven has to come by way of the cross. So there may be someone here this morning who is a long way from a warm place. I want to tell you, come get warmed up at the foot of the cross. Come to the cross and get warmed up by his love. Come to the cross and get warmed up by his forgiveness. There is an abundance of mercy this morning at the cross. There is an abundance of grace this morning at the cross. If this life has been ill towards you and this world has been cruel towards you and you have found no resting place for your soul this morning, I say, come to Jesus this morning. Come to him. Say, Lord, if I died today, I don't know if I would go to heaven. Well, let today be the day where you know so. You say, how do I know if I died today, heaven to be my home? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and listen to me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Not through the baptistry, not through speaking in a foreign language, not through any of those things, but by merely asking Jesus to come into your heart. And it's by that act of faith and embracing salvation's plan, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the blessing is verse number 13 of Romans 10. You say this morning, oh, preacher, I could never get saved. You don't know about the things I have going on in my life. You don't know the things that I did. Pastor Justin, you just don't realize what I've done in my life. There is no way that Jesus will save me. Well, I want to ask you to step over a verse if you can. And what I mean by that is Romans 10, verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ma'am, mister, whoever you are that says Jesus won't save you, you have to be able to step over Romans 10:13. I want to say you don't have legs long enough. You don't have arms long enough to reach across that verse and cross over it. That verse is for you, whoever you are this morning. Jesus wants to save you this morning. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. He's here and he wants to save. And so we have this young man, and he is on his way home, and it's a known way. He left the pig pen. He left the farmer's field. He walked the dusty road past the bars and nightclubs, so to speak. And then walked down the father's driveway. Many times people will say, I know my way home. It's just I'm not ready to leave the foreign country. Can I say this morning, if you're not ready to leave the foreign country where you are, there is no promise that you'll have another opportunity to make your way home or to the Father's house. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it's 27, in verse number 1, I stand corrected if I'm wrong, but it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Many people have died and went to a devil's hell with good intentions, saying, oh, I'll come to the cross when it's a convenient season. I'll come to the cross and embrace Jesus whenever I have time or opportunity. No, my friend, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Come today and get saved. Now is the time of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. James says that this life that we live, it is just a vapor, and it appears for a season, and then it vanishes away. Today, if you're not saved, accept him today. If you are saved, go back home. Go back home. You know the way home. You know the way home. Let me say this. It's been said one time when going on vacation to really pay attention to your surroundings when you're traveling. You're leaving Georgia and going to Florida. Pay attention. So you're on the 75 going south. Oh, it sounds so good right now. 75 south. It does. We going, mama. We going one day. We going to go on vacation. Pay attention. Because you got to come back. And the things that you have paid attention to on purpose, 9 times out of 10, you'll remember those things. Oh, I remember that. I just don't know where I'm at right now, but I remember seeing that. Does that make sense? And so, to me, this prodigal, and I feel like I punched this one enough, I need to let it go. He knew how to get home. He left home. He spent his money. And so he was heading back, and it was a known way. And so we know the way home, don't we? We know the way to get back tight with the Lord, not getting saved all over again. We know our way back. We may have to confess some things so that our standing will be fine. again, nothing to do with salvation, but our standing, meaning there's nothing in between us. But let me mention a second thing. Not only this young man discovered he knew the way home, there was a known way. But number two, he discovered it was the blessed way. It was the blessed way, the way home. When he began to go home, he didn't write the song, but he could have, Brother Ceylon. God blessed the broken road. And there's even a song, God blessed the broken road today. A country song. God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. We see in the book of Philemon that God blessed the broken road. When Onesimus rebelled against his master, his faithful employer that loved him and took care of him, there came a time where Onesimus left home, and it was a very broken road. He stole from his master. And he left home. And he even went to jail. Sometimes God gets people's attention in the jailhouse. Sometimes people who end up in jail, they find their pig pen there where they're able to repent because they're in jail. And some people say, oh, that's jailhouse religion. Well, it ain't forever. It's not jailhouse religion for everybody. There's a Philippian jailer who got saved. But Onesimus landed in jail. And guess who he met for the first time? He met the Apostle Paul, who was in jail. The difference is Onesimus did wrong and Paul did not. They both were in jail. And so Paul, it's all indications believe, Paul led Onesimus to the Lord in the middle of his brokenness. And he wrote the book of Onesimus and said, here, go back to your master, Philemon, and deliver this letter. We don't have time to get into it, but in that letter, Paul says to Philemon, if Onesimus has wronged you or oweth you anything, put that on my account. Do you see the picture here? It's a picture of transformation or transfer. Onesimus did wrong and he stole and he left his master's house. But yet Paul said, any way, in any form and fashion that he did you wrong, just put that on my account. I'll pay for that. I want to say that Jesus paid it all this morning. All to him I owe. He put all of my wrongs, God put all my wrongs on Jesus' account. And because of Jesus' righteousness, I can enter in heaven. And one time in my life, I went down a very broken road, but God blessed that road, and I came back to a very blessed road. Onesimus came back to Philemon looking like this, coming up the driveway. Philemon's like, is that Onesimus? What's that in his hand? Is that my goods he stole? And the closer Onesimus got, the more clearly he saw that it was a copy of God's word. You go back and read it, that's what happened. It may not look like this with lambskin leather, Redeemer's version with two red tags in it. And Onesimus got back, gave the book to Philemon, he started reading it. And Onesimus was freed of everything. He went down a broken road, but ended up being a blessed road. This prodigal son went down a broken road, but now it's a blessed road. Everything he passed, he knew was in the past. There's that old pub that I was at on St. Patty's Day. Whoa, man, I'm glad I don't have to do that no more to enjoy life. There's that old nightclub that I was at till the sun came up and I walked out with my hands in my pocket, bankrupt. I'm so glad I don't have to go to the nightclub anymore. So he's on his way home And it's not a broken road, my friend, but it's a blessed road because he's on his way home and he's realizing the things he doesn't have to do anymore, doesn't have to have joined to be a citizen of any country, doesn't have to work in that field feeding pigs. All he has to do is assume his responsibility and position as a son. This morning, all you have to do and all I have to do is assume our position as sons and daughters of God if you know him personally. And what that looks like and what that means is the Lord wants to bless me. The Lord wants to provide for me. I don't have to do things to try to provide for me illegally like I once did before I got saved. I don't have to do these things. The Lord wants to provide for me. The Bible says he will take care of me. Doesn't promise me a painless road, but it does promise me a purpose-filled road. And he said he will provide for me as a child of his. He said that he would have purpose for me. He said he will be with me. And so all I have to say is, God, I'm standing here in your house this morning as your son, fully surrendered. And so it was a blessed road. It was a blessed road. Have you got any broken roads in your life this morning? Have you turned a corner yet? Or are you still trying to patch things up on a broken road? The broken road that you're on this morning, do you know that you know it's a road that Jesus wants you on? Because you can try all the repairing you want to on your broken road. It ain't going to get better unless you change directions. Unless you go around the bend and find the blessed road, which is Jesus' road. You know, I mentioned an illustration at the end of Jubilee. I can remember mentioning it. I'm not sure if you can. But it was the picture of the fly that landed in the spider web. And I mean, I would do my buzzing noises this morning, but I'm about buzzed out. That's okay, Hassan. That fly would get into that, entangled that spider web. And man, it tried with every flap of its wings to get out, moving around. And the more it tried to get out, the more embedded it got. And then here comes a spider. And it just totally just, it stuck them with its venom. It digested the fly. What are you saying, Brother Justin? I'm saying this, sometimes you just got to surrender. Because the more you try to fix it, the worse that it gets. And Jesus wants us to surrender our attempts to try to make things right on our broken road. God can bless our road, but we have to come to him and say, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, Lord, a dirty son. Let me move on. We see that the way home, this young man discovered a blessed way, a known way, but I want to spend a few moments here if you give me a little more of your time. It was a searched way. A searched way. Meaning the father kept hoping on the return of his son. I really have some things I want to mention here. And so I'm going to take my time. Just stay with me. The father hoped that the son would come home one day. We see this in verse 20. Notice in verse number 20. Okay, I'm still in Acts. I'm in Acts. Back in verse number 20, notice what the Bible says. Luke 15. And he arose and came to his father. So he knew his way home. He got home. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Stop right there. I want to say this. He was a great, what you've heard it preached for years. Let's just get a fresh glimpse this morning. The son was a great way off. The son, by chance, let me just give an example, was from, I don't know, from here to Dairy Queen. Okay. It depends on how you measure how great a distance is. He was a great way off. And the Bible says that his father saw him. And so how did he know it was him? If he was a great way off, other than the scriptures implying that he'd been looking for him. I believe as a father having a daughter, God forbid, the day ever came that she said, see you later, I'm going to live life my way, I'm moving town, moving out of town. Wherever she grows up, God forbid she leaves in that kind of way. Or she just gets up and runs away and doesn't tell anybody. God forbid. I'll tell you one thing me and Miss Hales will be doing. We'll be looking for her. She knows I'll track her down. She knows that. She knows I'll track her down. And I ain't gonna listen, tracking devices are fine on phones, but I'll find her even without a tracking device. God just gives daddy something. And mamas, trust me. But I'll be looking for her. Every day I walk outside, look for her. I'll be in the house and doing something. I'll hear brakes. And I run to the door. Is that Lily? Is that Lily? Maybe it was. And maybe she changed her mind and she turned around and left again. Let me get in my car and go look for her. And then I pull into the grocery store parking lot down the road from the house. I say, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I'm losing my mind. But there's one thing about it. I will not stop looking for my daughter. I feel like this father was in the same predicament. He would go out on the porch and look for his son and no son. Perhaps he would go into town. Have you seen my boy? He left here and no sir, we haven't seen him. Well, he left the house in a very wrong way. We weren't under the best conditions. Have you seen my boy? No. The father had a hope that wouldn't stop. Listen to this. Lauren Daigle, a Christian artist. Has a song called Rescue. Here's some of the lyrics. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you. There was an episode on 2020. Back a while back. About a teenager. A young woman, even maybe beyond a teenager, a young mother even, somewhere in there, was restricted from going to South Carolina for spring break. She really wanted to go, and so she didn't tell anybody, and one night she left. She just took off and went down to South Carolina. And she lived it up. The reporters who gave the report on this story have cameras of this young girl just going from the hotel. She checked in, she left. They pick her up going out of a coffee shop. She's on spring break, she's enjoying herself. And so the family realizes that she left home, and they start looking for her. Eventually they call the police, and that's how they discover about the cameras. Well, okay, we do know she went to South Carolina. She left home, and she went beyond our best wishes. And they searched for 15, I think maybe 20 years and never found her until one day. Listen to me, quiet all around the building. They finally found her. And she was buried in a shallow grave in a park where that mother stood, and the search team stood, the forensic unit stood and wondered. They even had prayer, not knowing literally the girl was buried beneath their feet for almost 20 years. The mother said, I'll never give up. Before they found her, I'll never give up trying to find my daughter. She needs and deserves a proper burial. And then they started playing that song by Lauren Daigle. I will send out an army. It took 20 years, but she found her daughter. Child of God, he's looking for you this morning, and he ain't going to give up. There's another story. I'm only going to give you two. These jump out to me the most. Of the Texas killing fields in Texas. This is how we get the movie, the very bad movie, and actually a lot of spinoff of horror movies out of this situation from the Texas killing fields, the Chainsaw Massacre, all that kind of gross, horrible stuff. The Texas killing fields was an area where many, many ladies were buried. And a number of years rolled by and bodies kept coming up and kept discovering they will go missing and they will be found, missing, found. Well, there was one particular man who just moved in the area with his wife and with his daughter, Laura Miller. She said, "Daddy, I want to go to the," this was back in the 70s, "I want to go to the gas station," this is the gist of it, "to call my boyfriend." She went to the gas station to call her boyfriend, which was about a stone's throw from the house. And 20 years later, they were still searching for her. Come to find out, they have recently found her. And she was in the Texas killing fields buried where her father stood praying and crying out to God. Literally, these fields were behind the church. Crown to God for the ability to find their daughter. They got past the fact that she may not be alive. She's probably gone, but we want to find her a proper burial. And from that experience, there is the Miller. Her dad developed a rescue mission for those families with similar problems that he would jump in and help find these missing children. In remembrance and in honor of their daughter. 20 years, her father searched for her, and he found her. Much better than that today, we have a heavenly Father who is on heaven's porch, and he's looking for the soul that is distant from him. There may be someone here who does not know him as Father. Come know him as Father. There may be someone here as Peter was, who followed from a distance. But he's here, and he has a robe for you. The Bible says he has a ring to put on your finger. The Bible says that there is the fatted calf that's ready. There's food. All of these things are waiting and ready if we would just know the way home. And to many of us, we know the way home is through the cross. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for who you are. God, I pray that you'd move in this time of invitation in a very mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Now is the invitation. If you need